Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
You realize you were talking to a journalist.
I'll tell you what, Fonzie. Since you're such an investigative reporter, you figure it out.
If I reveal my sources, you wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Come on, Elliot. The public has a right to know a few things.
This is Two J's in a Pod. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy from WGHN Radio.
And I'm Sarah Leach from Ottawa News Network.
So anything happened this week?
No, been real quiet.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the week prior with all the snow, because we
I know.
Put a pause on the podcast because the kids didn't have school all week. A shout out to the Ottawa County Road Commission. I had them on the air every day, and they did an amazing job. So yeah. Shout out to them.
Yes, although at a certain point, I think my kids were forgetting how to read. But yes, I am glad that school finally resumed.
I can't believe my knuckles aren't still white, because I was driving in conditions. There was one point where I was on 96. I didn't know where I was at.
Yeah.
I did not know where I was at, and I almost turned around and went back home, and I'm like, I can't do that. I'm halfway here.
Right.
But I made it in every day, so there you go. I did it.
Well, God bless.
I'm telling you. I know. I remember those people that would work in radio, you know, in the beginning of my career. I can't get out of my driveway. And there'd be like, you know, 2 inches of snow or something. You know what I mean?
I know. I lived in Virginia once. And I mean, if a snowflake fell, I mean, it was they declared a national emergency. And, you know, the grocery stores were raided for toilet paper.
I believe it. But I've got a whole suitcase in my car. It's got blankets, water, an extra pair of snow pants, a book, a flashlight. Because I'm like, and when I drive to work in conditions like that, I put my phone in my pocket, because I was thinking, what happens if you slide off and your stuff goes all over the car?
Yes.
You can't see. You don't know where your phone is. So that was my week, the prior week.
Yep.
So here we are, a brand new week, and a lot happened.
There was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot that happened yesterday. The Board of Commissioners meeting in Ottawa was very, very intense.
How so?
Well, we got another settlement of a lawsuit. I think that's the biggest takeaway from yesterday. But it was the manner in which it was settled, because it was actually discussed in open session instead of closed session, which you just don't see that in this day and age in any kind of municipal government.
And why was that done?
Well, when litigation is brought against a unit of government and they have a settlement negotiation that they have to discuss, they are allowed under the Open Meetings Act to go into closed session, and they want to do that because they want to explore you know, different questions that the commissioners might have. They want to be able to be free in sharing their opinion that isn't necessarily for public consumption. Mm-hmm. They want to consult with their attorneys, get appropriate legal advice. All of those things they make sense. The problem is when you have a certain faction on the board that did not want the settlement, so they prevented the board from going into closed session. And I don't think that they intended for that necessarily to mean that let's discuss it in the open, mm-hmm. but that's what happened.
Wow.
And it was a lot.
Wow.
So then all those opinions were being shared quite freely, probably not as much as they would be in closed session, but there was a lot of feelings that were shared last night about who was responsible for putting us in the situation for being sued, how we were going to navigate out of it, whether it was a fair deal. And this is in relation to the county firing former administrator John Gibbs, who then sued for wrongful termination and retaliation.
Is he going to accept this settlement? We don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I can't say for certain, because the way that this worked was Gibbs and his attorney proposed, they give an offer. The county's insurance authority discussed that offer in closed session mm-hmm. last week. I believe that they made a couple of tweaks and made a counter offer, so that was accepted. It's put on the agenda for the full Board of Commissioners to then discuss, presumably in closed session, and then they vote whether or not to accept it. But because there was a lot discussed in open session that I'm not sure anyone really anticipated, I don't know if Gibbs and his attorney have even the option to reject it at this point, because it's so far along in the process, or even if they did have that option, if they would.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot said.
There was a lot said. Boy, there was a lot said. A lot of words.
And I'm going to have to go back and take a to take a listen to some of that. But wow. So if he accepts this settlement, though, he can't talk anymore about Ottawa County. Am I correct on that?
He can. Yeah, because there's no non-disclosure.
There isn't.
Portion. Not as outlined in the meeting yesterday.
So
the the terms were, it's a total amount of $190,000 that would be to be paid out in thirds. So a third of that is what is described as non-economic damage. And then there's a third that is described as economic damage. So economic damage is when you get fired and you say, well, I would like to be compensated because I wasn't able to work. You have compromised my ability to earn an income for a certain period of time because of the way that this was handled.
Right.
And so then another third would go to pay his attorney's fees. So in total, the county would be on the hook. Well, is on the hook now because they did vote to approve it for $190,000. But other than that, the only terms that Chair Teeples outlined was that Gibbs wants his termination to be removed from his employment file with the county, which I find fascinating because everyone has Google. And this was well documented.
Yeah.
I mean, the fallout, the suspension, the firing, the lawsuit. I mean, this has been in the news in national headlines for a year. I just don't know what this accomplishes. So he wants that removed from his employment file, and instead he wants to swap in a letter of resignation. So it is technically part of the deal, so that that technically will happen.
Okay.
Presuming that, you know, nothing derails this deal after this. But those were the only terms that were discussed. So there's nothing about an NDA. I think he can say whatever he wants about the county, but then he has to take responsibility for that speech.
Right.
So if he were to say something along the lines of, you know, one of the commissioners, you know, I see this comparison in a lot of those court shows because I love court TV.
You do?
I am fascinated by court TV, and you learn a lot about what not to do. and as long as you're not claiming something that is verifiably untrue, like if you were to claim that somebody had an STD, right, that is damaging to their character. It's defamation. So he has to be careful to not cross those kinds of lines.
Okay.
Otherwise, he can say whatever he wants.
Okay. One of the reasons why they were angry with him was because he came out and said that Health Officer Adeline Hambly was offered $4 million. Am I correct on that?
Yes, yes. That was a huge bone of contention between him and the board. So that the $4 million settlement agreement happened in the first week of November in 23. And when the board tried to rescind the settlement, because it kind of it was untenable in a lot of different ways, but the board then decided under Joe Moss's chairmanship to say that the $4 million deal never happened. And as we know, Hambly's attorney went back to court to try to enforce the settlement. A judge ultimately said yes, there was a $4 million settlement. However, the board was too vague when it approved it, so it's not legally enforceable. So, you know, in actuality, we had to go back to the drawing board, and eventually they settled out of court. She's still in her job.
Right.
They paid her legal fees and all that. But in the meantime, Gibbs was openly saying to staff that the $4 million settlement was real. And that was contradicting what Chair Moss's, you know, what his line was.
Right.
He basically said that the media manufactured the entire thing, which we now know is not true.
Right.
So I think that that did not really, you know, it didn't do him any favors. But then he also started to criticize the Corporation Council, which is Kalman Legal Group, that Moss and his Ottawa Impact majority hired at the beginning of 2023.
Right.
And I think that that was sort of between those two things. We also had some litigation that sort of implicated him in the meantime, which came up yesterday. I think all those things in total, you know, really, you know, that's what caused the falling out. But how he was fired was really what was at issue with this lawsuit.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, last night, I mean, you know, it's interesting to me the cadence that Joe Moss uses, because if you watch him in other things, you know, he'll do podcasts with Sylvia. His voice is much more calmer and on an even tone, but in these meetings, when he gets a little bit riled up, the cadence is very condescending.
Yeah,
I can tell he's riled up by the cadence.
Right. Even though he maintains his cool, he doesn't often raise his voice,
right.
Hardly ever, but I know exactly what you mean. There was one point where Moss was trying to make a point about President Trump's freezing of the federal grants and loan monies, and that, well, it went into effect as of 5 p.m. today. And so Commissioner Doug Zylstra, who's a Democrat, attempted to interrupt Moss to correct him to say, well, actually, there's a federal judge that prevented that from happening. But before he could finish his sentence, Moss said, Commissioner Zylstra.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm talking
why
about.
Why would you interrupt me?
That's what I'm and talking it's about. Just,
yeah,
it's very condescending.
There's just a, You just get cringe vibes when those kinds of exchanges
you
happen.
You do. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long 4 years. I mean, honestly.
Oh, God, I'm so tired.
You know, well, and I think those 6:30 meetings are tough, too.
Yeah.
They are for me, anyway. I'm not going to stay up and lose sleep. There's other things that, you know, that need to be covered and whatnot. And then when you have a situation, which is interesting for the audience listening, when you have a situation like a weather situation for a full week.
Right.
That's your lead.
Right.
All week.
Right.
And so I'll take stories if I have something, a story that I did with a nonprofit, and I'll hold on to it because it'll get lost in the news cycle of the weather. That's
right.
All anybody's talking about. So
exactly.
That's
exactly.
Kind of what I'll do with things. So what else happened at the meeting?
Oh, gosh. Well, one thing that I struggle with a lot is when I'm live tweeting, I often have to pause the meeting because I have to go back and verify that, okay, did this actually happen the way that people are representing? Is this, you know, what was the timeline of events? I'm trying to get reference materials. So even though this meeting was only 4 hours long, it actually took me 6 hours to tweet because there was so much. What I'm just going to just say is revisionist history that kind of went along with some of this Gibbs conversation about the timeline of events and why he was fired. In addition to that, the funding, well, I should say the contract with Community Spoke also reappeared. And this is an organization that facilitates with local nonprofits, kind of helps to provide human services. It came before the board in August, and there was a controversial exchange between the then OI majority, primarily with Allison Miedema and Sylvia Rohde, the two OI commissioners, and they were talking to the public health officials, again, Adeline Hambly and her deputy, Lisa Ugansky, when they approached the board to have this contract with Community Spoke. The commissioners accused public health of providing the information in a shady way. The word shady actually was used.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And so it just got kind of put on the back burner. According to Hambly, last night she had many discussions with former interim administrator Ben Wetmore to have it back on the front burner to get this contract approved. It never happened. She never got a response. And we all know that Ben Wetmore left at the end of 2024 with a severance package that also was controversial. So she basically was kind of making her pitch to the new majority to say, hey, can we just kind of get on with business because we've been contracting or had a relationship with Community Spoke for since 1995 is the timeline that was referenced last night. But again, a lot of innuendo, outright accusations from OI commissioners. They have DEI language on their website. They embrace woke values. You know, there was just an inordinate amount of time, close to a half an hour of those kinds of exchanges, which, again, we get it. We understand the point that you're trying to make. But we have a decision to make here. So either vote it up or vote it down, and let's move on.
Right. Let's move on. What else happened? Anything else happen?
Oh, gosh. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
I always love when the camera goes to the audience and stuff. And if it's somebody I know, I'll send them a message.
Yeah,
and then I'll see them look at the message.
Sometimes
when
I'll take
on their
a
phone.
Screenshot and because you see somebody sort of bored to tears with their fist, you know, like under their chin, and I'll say, hey, you know, you staying up, you caffeinating, you hydrating.
Oh my God. gosh.
Let's see. The only other two things that I would note from the meeting is that the county adopted revised policies for earned sick time, which is kind of on track with, you know, the Michigan Supreme Court. And that's moving through the legislature. So there could be additional changes afterward. And then they talked again about the appointment for the Community Mental Health Board. And this has been a bone of contention since the first meeting where the board in earnest started to talk about business, because Commissioner Miedema was the head of talent and recruitment through the 2 years that the OI majority was in place, so 23 and 4. And when they termed out and the new board came in, there was sort of this power struggle a little bit, because Miedema tried to reclassify the commissioners who did not win re-election from a commissioner seat to a general public seat on various boards to allow them to remain on these boards. Mm-hmm. So the new board gets in and says, wait, what the French toast? That's not how any of this works. Although it is a little unclear in some of the bylaws and the statutes and when the terms start and when they stop. And it's just a complete mess. Wow. And no one really knows what the right answer is. So there was a really big exchange about, you know, well, how are we going to fix this? It might take us 3 years to cycle through various appointments in order to figure this out. I think it's just a mess. And, you know, somehow these two groups have to work together in order to, you know, to find a solution. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, they're not showing that they can really work together quite yet, especially on issues that they care about.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see it. You can feel the tension.
Oh,
I
know.
You could just hear it in the language that they use and whatnot. My
gosh.
I
think the deeper story here is that we're continuing to see this dynamic of, you know, the new majority, even though they're all Republicans. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an 11-member board. There's 10 Republicans. There's only one Democrat, but there's now two different types of Republicans.
Sure.
And there was another 20 minutes that was taken out where Miedema was complaining about the fact that she sort of inadvertently was being labeled as a member of the minority in a chart that was in the packet last night. And a member of the new majority, Jordan Jaritsma, he was saying, well, why are you complaining? Do you want fewer committee assignments? Because now we all have equal numbers of committee assignments, which was a departure from the previous 2 years.
Exactly.
And she said, no, I just don't like being labeled as the minority. And we're all kind of, there was like this moment where, well, what are we talking about? Are we going to approve what's before us in the resolution, or are we? So I just kind of see these things where we're talking about something that's concrete, which is what a board is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You have an agenda for a reason. You have action items. You discuss the action items. You vote them up. You vote them down. You amend them. You change them, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we keep on getting off the rails on these ideological conversations, many prepared statements, you know, espousing the values of the new administration in Washington. And I know. It's just like, what are we doing? I thought that we were a local county government.
Do you think Teeples is doing a good job of reining it in, though?
Well, you can see his mediator skills coming out. Mm-hmm. And I do understand that he does have an obligation to allow people to, you know, talk, to share their opinions, to allow some of that to come in. In my opinion, I think he lets it go on a little too long.
Right.
And usually it's another commissioner that says, okay, call to question, which means can we just get past whatever we're talking about and vote on the thing.
Okay, that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah. And then people will say, oh, right, yeah. I mean, I think that he's almost so used to doing the mediating thing where you allow everyone to talk until they're all talked out, and then you find a solution to whatever the issue is, that I think that he maybe gives too much time to those kinds of things because we get so far off topic.
I was a doodler in high school, and I was on the Ravenna Village Council, believe it or not.
Nice.
Yeah, I ran unopposed. And I would sit in those meetings, and I took it seriously. I was proud to do it, but I was a doodler. I wonder if any of the commissioners doodle, although they have their computers, so they can do the computer thing, but I would just doodle over all my notes, and it's funny to look back at all the little things that I would draw, but I always felt like I had to keep busy when things were starting to get long,
and you know,
I'm fidgeting in my seat. I'd rather just doodle.
I have to take notes in the middle of somebody talking for a really long time because I'll forget what I think is important or what to follow up on. I mean, if I don't do that, I just get lost.
If you get a tip about something, somebody puts something in your ear tell the audience, where do you go from there? How many sources do you need before you go with it?
Well, I mean, you can talk about what they train you to do in journalism school.
Where, and that is what? How many sources?
Well, you need at least 2 firsthand sources, especially if there's a controversial fact you want to confirm with 2 sources on the record.
Mm-hmm.
The type of reporting that I do doesn't necessarily lend itself to that. I mean, a lot of things are a little mushy in county government, especially over the last 2 years when you don't have people really talking to you,
right,
or are afraid to talk,
yeah,
to you. So there is... There is no, you know, we don't have to pass a test to be journalists. We don't have to be registered with any kind of, you know, like a bar association for lawyers. We don't have to have a license.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone technically could do what we do to varying, you know, degrees of success.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that when I get a tip, I really like to ask myself, what is the audience really interested in? Like, what is the deeper issue? I don't like to go after surface reporting, what I call kind of just skimming along the surface with whatever the immediate thing is. I like to try to take a deeper dive into what is the bigger picture telling us about what's affecting Ottawa County.
And that's what we're doing right here.
Yeah.
That deeper dive.
Exactly.
Because you're right. I only had so much time to do my news. I don't like my news going over 4 minutes. And I only had so much time, and I had all this audio, and I'm like, Ottawa County is going to take up about 3 minutes of my news if I tell the full. So I get that.
Right.
Where this podcast is able to take a deeper look into what's happening.
Right. Right. And you know, again, these long meetings, they're going to trend this way because we're only going to have 1 meeting per month now with,
mm-hmm,
the full board.
Mm-hmm.
And so now everything's going to be condensed in multi-hour long meetings, and so we're gonna hit a lot of topics. One thing that I would be remiss if I didn't mention it is we did get an update on the administrator search, although I don't know if anyone really hung on that long because then interim administrator Gary Rosema told sort of a very long and meandering story about a cold case, or he was in court and it was an old case and then a new case about a sex offender. So a lot of people, I think, just kind of tuned out. But I can get to the brass tacks and say that there is an RFP that is almost completed,
mm-hmm,
that will be posted probably within the next couple of days by the county. It's going to appear on 2 websites, although they didn't specify which ones, along with the county website. This is going to advertise for search firms to enter RFPs, so that's a request for proposal. So what kind of a search would they conduct to allow the county to, you know, help identify its next administrator? And we think that that firm could be selected by the end of February is what they're guesstimating at the earliest.
Okay.
And so then it presumably would take another month to negotiate a contract with that firm. So you probably wouldn't start the search in earnest until March.
All right.
And I also want to mention that the interim administrator has hired a deputy interim administrator.
Oh, who?
And that is Ronald France, the former county prosecutor.
Okay.
So both of them are helping to. He was also a candidate for interim administrator.
Got
as well.
It.
So,
okay.
And they so Rosema was the sheriff and France was the prosecutor back in the day when they were both still active duty, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be working on that process.
Okay. Anything else?
I know, right? It's like, do we need anything else? I can keep talking if you want.
Stay off the ice. Come on, you guys. If it's 35, 36 out, that's above freezing. Why are you on the ice?
I mean, the Darwin rule is called that for a reason. That's all I'm saying.
I'm telling you. Oh, man. Well, all right. Well, I don't know what else to talk about. We're 23 minutes into this. This is the beauty of it. This was great. I didn't have to look at the time. I wasn't looking over my shoulder to see,
yep,
if there was a guest sitting out there wanting coffee. I'm not, you know, just this one-on-one like this.
I know.
And I've learned a lot, too. And I still want to FOIA with you someday. You have to teach me how to FOIA. I've never FOIA'd anything
before.
I know.
Well, yeah, that's part of the thing that we want to explore with Ottawa News Network is there's a whole educational component to,
okay,
it. And obviously, it's going to take some time to build out to get,
mm-hmm,
to that. But we want to be a resource to help. You know, there's documents that are available through the state and through the federal government, depending on what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And there's templates, you know, what happens if you hit a roadblock? You know, there's a lot of things that are sort of out there in the ether, but they're never really in one condensed place. And so we want to be able to do that, you know, maybe host some workshops. I did that when I was at the Sentinel still a couple of times.
I would love that. That's awesome.
It's a really important resource that people really need to know is it's a tool for everyone,
yeah,
not just journalists. And it's not as intimidating as you think.
Okay. All right. So what does the rest of your week look like?
Well, I'm going to take a nap.
Okay.
And then I have to figure out how to unpack this story.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going to be the first, and
but
it's going to cover all of the things. So it's going to be thorough, and it's going to be referencing applicable conversations, contextual things. I think that is what my role is to play here.
I agree, and it's not this whole thing about being first isn't. I don't care about being first anymore. I'd rather be right.
Well, I got my first news alert last night while the meeting was still going on.
Wow.
And it was a story in the Sentinel about the interim sheriff because they approved his temporary contract.
Right. So they were able to put that in there and get it out.
And I thought that was interesting that you're writing a daily while the meeting is still going.
Mm-hmm.
And what if that isn't the biggest takeaway? And it turned out it wasn't. I don't think anyone cares about the interim administrator's contract right now after what happened with the Gibbs settlement.
I do know that Saturday is ice cream for breakfast day. And that's a national thing. And Sweet Temptations in Grand Haven is going to be serving up ice cream for breakfast. So your kids might want that. I know you like
also
to take your kids out.
Also known as my everyday.
It just goes to show you, it's always something. If it's not one thing, it's another. That's the news. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.